coming to Cross Point. We are so glad you guys are here today. And yes, I do not look like Pastor Theron. He's on vacation, so I'm filling in this morning. But first off, we'd just love to welcome all those who are joining us through technology. So we have people joining us from all over the world, the country, possibly through Facebook Live. So let's welcome those people this morning. Well, today we are going to finish up a four-part series that has been entitled The Daniel Dilemma. So we've been looking at the life of Daniel and how he was able to stand firm in his culture, but also love well. And so last week, Josh, let's give it up for Josh, he did an incredible job last week, and he walked through how we can stand firm in a bow-down culture. And if the truth be known, we are in a culture right now that is bowing down to anything and everything. Everybody's offended by everything. And so he taught us and walked us through how Daniel stood firm in his faith. He didn't have to compromise. And so this week, we're going to go on the side of loving well. So not only do we want to stand firm, and we see that in Daniel's life, he never compromised his beliefs. He always stood firm for what he believed in. But Daniel was a very influential person. They liked him. He was someone who made a difference in his culture, and that's because he learned how to love well. He was able to love the people well. And I think today, in our culture, we think that you can't do both. Either I'm going to stand firm for my faith, and I'm going to say, you know, this is what I stand for, and people aren't going to like me, and that's just how it is. But I'm right, but they're not going to like me. But then we have people on the other side of this spectrum where they're all the way over here, and they're saying, well, I've got to love people well. But to love people well, I have to compromise and change the Bible to love the people that I'm trying to reach. And you know what? We can't do that. So we have to come together in the middle where we're standing firm, but we're also loving them well. And so this first scripture that we want to talk through about love is found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. And this has some strong language in it. It says, the only thing that counts. Think about that. The only thing that counts is faith. And that's what we talked about last week. We have to have a strong faith. If we're not strong in our faith, we are going to bow in this culture, aren't we? We're not going to stand up for what we believe in if we're not strong in our faith and in what we believe. But now that faith is expressing itself through love. Let's say it together. It's expressing itself through what? Love. And that's beautiful because we can have that faith and express it through love. You know, a pastor once said, you can't influence your enemies, so don't have any, right? There's an easy cure for that. Just don't have any enemies. But how do we actually do that? And there's a great quote by J.S. Knox. He says, you cannot antagonize and influence at the same time. But I'm right. Doesn't matter. People don't want to hear you talk right now. You can't antagonize and influence your culture at the same time. So Daniel is a great example, but we also see this in the life of Jesus. Jesus knew how to stand firm and to love well. He's one of those people that you didn't want to come into your group because he knew what you were thinking. He knew what was going on behind the scenes. There were no secrets from him, right? But when you see him come in a group, he doesn't come in and say, "Oh, I know what you're thinking. Oh, yep, I know what you did last night." He didn't say it, did he? No. He came in and he influenced the culture. So let's look at John chapter 13. And we see that Jesus, he didn't really get in the face of people except for the religious folks. So he would kind of get in their face. And this is a passage where we see Jesus talking to the religious folks. And he says, "A new command I give you." And this really wasn't a new command, but apparently they had not gotten it. So he's saying, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." He says, "By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you get baptized," right? Nope, that's not what it says. "All men will know you're my disciples if you serve all the time," right? No. "All men will know that you are my disciples if you memorize the Bible," right? No. He's saying that it all boils down to this one thing. All men will know that you are my disciples if you, let's say it together, love one another. So the Christian faith boils down to this one thought, and it's that we love one another. And you know what? Sometimes we want to think, okay, that's simple, Karen. You know, give me something deep. I want to leave here with some deep, deep teaching. This is just too easy, too simple, too surface level. But Jesus was saying, you know what? We're not even doing the basic things of Christianity. We need to get this first, right? And if we want something deep, we need to maybe love our enemies. That's hard, isn't it? When you've got something against someone else or they have something against you, and the Bible is telling me to love my enemies. The Bible is telling me to pray for those who persecute you. Bless that person down the street that's not very nice right now. That's deep, isn't it? It's hard to do. It's hard. But we can do that. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the first part of verse 1. It says, "Let love be your greatest aim." And are we doing that? Are we letting love be our greatest aim today? So I want to challenge us as we walk through this sermon today. We're going to talk and we're going to go through two different aspects of this. So the first part, we're going to walk through some principles in the greatest love chapter in all the Bible. If you've been to a wedding, you have probably heard this passage of Scripture quoted or said sometime during that. So we're going to walk through some principles from that. And then the second part of the message is going to be more practical. You know, what can we do right now to love well? So let's get started. This comes from Rick Warren. He did this teaching, a verse-by-verse teaching of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Some know it as the love chapter. And we're going to walk through some of these principles. So get out your message notes. I think all of you have them in your worship guide. This will help you just follow along. You can fill in the blanks along with us. So let's write this one down. Without love, all I say is ineffective. all I say is ineffective. You know what? We're in a culture where we glorify people's opinions. Just take a look at social media. Open up your Facebook or your Instagram or whatever, and everybody's got an opinion out there about something. Lots of words out there. But if I don't have love, all I say is ineffective. I say, but Karen, I'm right. It doesn't matter if you're right. You know what? If those words are not said in love, they're nothing. And let's look at that scripture in 1 Corinthians 13:1. It says, if I speak in the tongues of men or angels, so if you are the most eloquent speaker that ever walked the face of this earth, that's what that's saying, but do not have love, this is what people hear. I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. And you know what? In this culture today, we've got a lot of resounding gongs and clanging cymbals going on, don't we? There's a lot out there that we have to wade through. And you know what? We need to be careful about what we're saying, what our words are saying, what is coming out of our mouths. And you know what? Even if it's true, even if it's right what you're saying, how are we saying it? And we need to think about that and let that start with us. You know what? I can be just as guilty. You get into a situation with friends or something and that conversation goes negative, or you start gossiping or whatever. We need to stand up in love against those words. Whether they're true or not, what is coming out of our mouth? And how is it coming out of our mouth? And Ephesians 4:15, it says, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ. This one isn't in your notes, but I want you to write this one down. It's also in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So what is coming out of our mouths today? Is it building up or is it tearing people down? And we need to think critically. Let that start with us in our heart. What is coming out of our mouths today? And you know what? It's a choice what comes out of our mouth, right? So we can choose today to build each other up and make sure our words are encouraging each other and not tearing each other down. This country has the biggest divide that I've ever seen in my life. And it hurts. It really hurts. There are divisions even within the church, and we're supposed to be defined by our love. We looked at that earlier. We should be defined by loving one another. But we're divided. What is coming out of our mouths is not building up, but it's tearing down, and it's got to stop. We've got to start speaking truth in love so that it will be effective instead of ineffective. Okay, let's go on to the next one. Without love, all I know is insignificant. You know, some people don't care what you know. That doesn't matter to them at all. we hear that in our culture today, we are the most learned, we have more knowledge today, but we're in a worse world. You know? We have the most knowledge we've ever had, the best phones, I hold a computer in my hand every day, have access to everything that I would ever want or not want, right in the palm of my hand. But our world is not any better, is it? No, it's worse. So we don't care what you know. 1 Corinthians 13:2 goes on to say, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, but don't have love, I'm nothing. It's nothing. Let's go on to the next one. Without love, all I believe is insufficient. Say, well, Karen, I believe in God. Great. So does the devil. You know, the devil believes, the enemy believes. But what we have to have with that belief is a behavior. So our actions need to speak up and have that love. It has to back up that belief. So 1 Corinthians 13:2, the next part of that scripture, it says, if I have faith that can move mountains, if my belief is so strong, but I do not have love, I am nothing. So it's great for you to believe, but we need that behavior behind that belief as well. The next one, without love, all I give is incomplete. My husband and I, we facilitate Financial Peace University classes, and we love it. Love seeing people get out of debt and being able to use their money the way God intended. But how many of us know that even in our giving, there can be pride in that? Sometimes that can take over that, oh, well, I gave $100 to that benefit. Or I gave $1,000. And then it becomes all about us, right? It's very easy for that to happen in our giving. So what motivates our giving? But it needs to be motivated by love. Why am I giving? Because I love Jesus first, and then I love you. I want to see you prosper. I want to see you have your needs met, or those people out in the world, I want to see them have their needs met. But it's motivated by love, not what I can get out of it, not so I can say I gave, but I need to have a generous spirit and give that in love. So 1 Corinthians 13:3, the first part of that says, if I give all I possess to the poor, but I don't have love, it's nothing. Doesn't matter if I gave everything I had, if it's not motivated by love. So the next one, without love, all I accomplish is inadequate. I don't know about you, but I am a to-do list person. Nothing excites me more than to get out my to-do list and start saying, oh, check that off. Oh yeah, check that off. Get to the end of the day and I've got my whole list checked off. I love getting things accomplished. But you know what? Without love, my accomplishments don't mean anything. And all of us, one day, are going to stand before God. And let's make it clear, our salvation, getting into heaven, is not based on our works. That is only through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. But we He does want to reward us for what we've done on this earth. And you know what? I don't think when we get and we stand before God and we say, I don't think he's going to say, well, Karen, how many people did you lead to Christ today before I called you to heaven? I don't think he's going to say that. I think he's going to say, Karen, how did you love people? How did you treat your neighbor? How did you treat that coworker that kind of got under your skin a few times? How did we treat people? I think that's when we're going to be rewarded for what we've done, because our accomplishments were based on our love for him and our love for people. So we've got to keep that in mind. Without it, it's nothing. So 1 Corinthians 13:3 says, if I give over my body to hardship that I may boast, and that's just a fancy Bible phrase to say, I did a lot of good things out there. I accomplished a lot for the Lord. That's what that's saying. But do not have love, I gain nothing. So all of this can be summed up by this statement. My life minus love equals zero. Your life minus love equals zero. This church minus love equals zero. We have to have love for anything to make sense. And so I want to challenge you this week. There's another passage in your message notes there. Maybe you want to circle it or, you know, do something to highlight that. But there are certain passages that you can start your day with, and I think if you do that, you're going to have a better day. If you start your day reading these passages, your day is going to go better because you've got this in your mind. And so let's go through and read the rest of that, verses 4 through 8. It says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. Love that one. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Let's say this last line together. Love never fails. That's true. Love will never fail. So just try that this week. Start your day. It'll take you all of 30 seconds to read through those verses to start your day. And you're going to be able to see that without love, we can't do that. So I know what you're thinking. Karen, how do I do that? Ready for the answer? Daniel. We're going to look at Daniel and see how he did it. So let's look at Daniel chapter 6. We're going to go through verses 1 through 5. And this is going to help us to love well. And these are great leadership verses that we're going to be talking through this morning. Said it pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps, and that would have been like our city council, throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, so like mayors, one of whom was Daniel. And don't miss that. That's important. You've got in a Babylonian culture, a Hebrew, Daniel, that's put into one of these mayor positions, these administrators. So that's huge in and of itself. Says the satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. So basically, they were there to help the kingdom grow. They were going to make things happen. Okay? Now, Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities. And this is something that all of us can do. You know what? You don't have to be the best at everything. You know what? We don't have control over our qualities, the things that, you know, we do well or don't do well. I mean, that's just in us. There's some things we do well and there's some things we don't. We don't have a choice over that. But we can take on exceptional Christian qualities that set us apart from everybody else. And because of those exceptional qualities, let's look what it says. It says that the king planned, he said, Daniel, if you're going to be like that, I'm going to give you the whole kingdom. It set him apart because of his love. Let's keep going. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel. Where? In his conduct, his actions, what he did of government affairs. But they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, well, we will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel. So we want that to be said of us, that they can find no basis in our conduct of wrongdoing. And we can choose to do that. We can choose to have those exceptional qualities and to love well. So I want us to go through three things that we can start doing tomorrow. These are practical, they're easy to do. And number one, tomorrow we can start serving them. We can serve them. 1 Corinthians 9 and 19, it says, though I am free and belong to no man, this is Paul speaking, he was the leader, he didn't belong to anybody, he was a free man, so why is he going to serve? Better, that's better. If you're in a leadership position, we should serve all the more. It's called servant leadership. And so he says, I made myself a slave to everyone. Why did he do that? Why did he make himself a slave to everyone? To win as many as possible. So we want to serve people to win them to Christ. That's how we're going to win them, when we serve. And so look at this quote, and this is part of the book, The Daniel Dilemma. It says, Jesus connected before he corrected. So we look at Jesus, and he comes on the scene, and there is a connection story. Maybe you've heard of Zacchaeus. You heard of Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Wee little man was he. Sunday school, anybody? Zacchaeus, in the Bible, Luke chapter 19, we see his story. And this guy was a tax collector. He was not a good man. People did not like him. He stole from people. He was a bad man. Okay? But Zacchaeus was short, and he had to climb up into the tree so that he could get a glimpse of this Jesus. Now, Jesus knew who he was, knew what he had done, and you know what? Jesus could have come right up to him and said, "Ooh, you're a thief. I know you're trying to get a look, but you're a thief. What are you doing?" But that's not how the story went. What did Jesus do? He came up to Zacchaeus and he said, Zacchaeus, come out of that tree. Do you want to have lunch? You know what? I'm going to Carrabba's. You want to join me? Come on. He's going to have lunch. And can you imagine how Zacchaeus felt? He was probably stunned, like, people don't treat me like this. They don't ask me to go to lunch. But Jesus is asking me to go to lunch. And they go to lunch, and he comes out of that lunch, and he's giving double back to the people that he had stolen from. He's giving them everything that he had stolen plus more. And we don't have the privilege of knowing what was talked about at lunch, but wouldn't you want to know what Jesus said at lunch? But Zacchaeus didn't change before lunch. He changed after lunch. So Jesus connected with Zacchaeus before he corrected Zacchaeus. And you know what? That's true for our lives. We have to connect with people before we can speak into their lives. If we don't have a relationship with that person, and we start saying, well, you don't need to be doing this, and you don't need to be doing that, and you can't do this, and this is wrong, and no. Are they going to listen to us? Absolutely not. They don't know who we are. But when we connect and we have that relationship with that person, then God opens up doors for you to share the truth of the gospel with them. Yeah, you may be right, but you know what? It's not about winning arguments. It's about winning people. It's about the people. And so we have to connect with them before we can correct. We got to remember that. So the second thing that we can do tomorrow, we can set an example for them. And I know this one probably gives us the most heartburn. It does me, because I'm thinking, well, if that person sees my life, they're not going to want to be a Christian. I mean, I don't have it all together. I'm definitely not perfect. I'm just trying to survive, right? And we can shy away from this one because we're afraid of what they'll see. And you know what? It's not about that we're perfect. So let's breathe in and breathe out. You don't have to be perfect to set an example. You just have to be better. And I bet if we took a microphone and we went around this church and we said, tell us how long you've been here, where you were before, and where you are now, I bet our stories would all follow the same pattern. Well, I've been here for this amount of time, and I've been doing growth track, and I'm serving on the dream team, and I'm in a small group, and I'm doing all this stuff. And guess what? I was way over here doing all this stuff, but now I'm here. I'm not where I want to be. But I'm here, I'm better than I was when I came. And so we can set an example right where we are. And here at Crosspoint, we do. We want you to get on the growth track. We want you to get in a small group. We want you to be able to serve on a team. But all of that stuff, it isn't for us, it's for you. It's so that God can change your heart and you can be that example for everyone you come in contact. So tomorrow, when you step into that classroom, students, or for us, when we step into our workplace tomorrow, we can set an example for those that God has given us influence with. We can make a difference in that area. So let's look at Matthew 5, verse 13. It says, you are the salt of the earth. So I want you to go into that place tomorrow and make it taste better. We are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, There's a lot of us Christians out there that aren't salty anymore, aren't we? We can lose that saltiness. How can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. So not only are we going to make things taste better, but we're going to brighten it up. We are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let's not be a closet Christian. Let's be a Christian that's out in the world. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and say, why are you doing this? Why? And we're going to be able to connect them to God, and then they're going to praise your Father in heaven. They're going to glorify our God in heaven because of that example that we've set for them. So these are choices. These are things we can do even today. We don't have to wait for tomorrow. We can do them today. We can serve. We can set an example. And here's a quote by Pastor Chris Hodges. He's the one that wrote the book that we're working through. He said this: the greatest influence we can have on our world is how we live our lives. It's how we live our lives. So it really doesn't matter. We can live our lives in such a way that we influence the world around us. All right? So number three, we want to share Christ with them. You may say, oh, Karen, I don't know. How do I do that? How do I share Christ with them? Well, we can share Christ just by the things that we do. We can share Christ, and here at Crosspoint, we have a little card. And this is our act of kindness card. And I like to highlight this because this is an easy way to share Christ with those around you. Very non-threatening. It's an easy way to do that. And it just says something extra to show you God loves you. So all we need to do is connect kindness with Jesus. You can do it this way, or you can just connect whatever you're doing to Jesus by saying, I'm doing this in the name of Jesus. I'm giving you this in the name of Jesus. I'm doing this action in the name of Jesus. And I heard a story recently about flooding that was going on in this area. And the churches were saying, you know, we've given altar calls, we've asked people to come to Christ in our churches. Very little response. But these churches started rescuing people in these flooded areas. And when the people in the boats were like realizing these aren't government officials helping us, these aren't rescue workers, these are just ordinary people. And they're like, yeah, my house is flooded too, but I want to save you. And they said people were giving their hearts to Christ in the rescue boats, because they wanted to know this Jesus that these people served that would cause them to go and risk their lives for somebody else. And they did it in the name of Jesus. So they connected their kindness to Jesus. And that is a simple way to share Christ. It doesn't have to be elaborate. You don't have to know all the scriptures. Just tell them what Jesus did for you. Or show them the love of Christ and connect it to Jesus. That's all we have to do. So 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. So what that means is you just need to fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with him. And then you're going to be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. But look at this. We need to do this with gentleness and respect. Keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. You know what? Those people are going to be ashamed because your behavior has followed Christ and you're loving well. Your behavior is not like the others. We can choose to do that. So I think that this quote is great by St. Francis of Assisi. He says, "Preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words." Isn't that a great quote? We can preach the gospel just by our actions, just by loving people, showing them the love of Christ. And if we need to, we can use those words. So I want you to put this up. This is the last thing we're going to write in our notes. It says, "How I act is more important than what I say." How I act is more important than what I say. So we can say a lot of things, but if we're not showing them the love of Christ, it doesn't matter. If my actions and my behaviors don't reflect Jesus, it doesn't matter. We have to love them well. And you know what? This message isn't meant to be this motivating, you know, just do better. We can't just do better. Within myself, I can't love like Jesus loves. So join the club. If you feel like, well, Karen, I just act the way I act. I am who I am. We're all like that, aren't we? But what makes the difference is Christ. We have to fall so in love with him that his love is our actions. Because when we truly grab hold of how much he loves us, our capacity to love others will expand beyond anything you could ever think or imagine. But we have to grab hold of that ourselves. I told the dream team this morning, you can't give others what you don't have, right? And if we don't know the love of Christ in our own lives, we can't give it away. We can't love like he loves if we haven't grabbed hold of that in our hearts. You know what? 1 John tells us that we love because he first loved us. So that's the only way we can love. It's because he loved us first. And this scripture, we have to grab hold of this, that we're going to end with, is key. Romans 5 and 8 says, "But God demonstrates." He showed us how much he loved us. He demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And I don't know if there are parents in the room. I'm not a parent myself, but I have dogs that I love. But I don't think there's a parent in here that would say, you know what, I'm going to give my son or my daughter so that I can have a relationship with you. I don't think there's one in here that would say, I love you that much that I'm going to give up a child to be in relationship with you. But that's exactly what God did. He demonstrated his love. And he didn't even want us to have it all together. He didn't even require us to accept him at that point. He said, while you were still sinners, Christ died for you. So right now, I want us just to close our eyes. There's nothing mystical about this, but just open your hands there in your lap in a posture of receiving. And let's pray. Lord, we don't deserve, God, that love that you demonstrated by sending your son to die for the things that I've done. God, we are eternally grateful for that realization. God, this morning I pray that you would help us to receive that love. God, help us to truly grab hold of your love this morning. And as we grab hold of your love this morning, I pray that it would change our hearts. God, it would change our behavior. And as we grab hold of your love, that you would expand our capacity to love others. So Lord, help us in that. And right now, just keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed. There may be somebody here today who has never grabbed hold of the love of God, who's never said yes to Christ and ask him to come into their heart. And you don't need to let me know, but if you want to take that step today, and you want to ask God, Christ, to live in your heart, I just want you to raise your hand, put it right back down. Yes. This room. Thank you. Whether you raised your hand or not, we're going to have an opportunity to pray a prayer right now of salvation. Just asking God to live inside of our hearts. So pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, come and live inside of me. Lord, I give you my life. And I ask that you would live in my heart so that I can love others as you love me. God, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask that you wash those away. I believe that you died, and on the third day rose again for me. So God, I give you my love and ask for your love in return. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Lord, we are just so thankful for all of those who made decisions for you today. God, we're so grateful for your heart for us, that, Lord, we can stand firm and love well in this culture. God, we don't have to bow down. We don't have to change the Bible. But we can love your people well. So we thank you for what you've done in this place today. And we praise your name for it. In Jesus' name, amen.